Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show. It's episode number 106 tonight, and a special shout out to Eric Jude of Frozen Creek Studios, whose music is our intro music that he graciously allowed us to use, and hopefully he will be back on the show visiting with us soon, either as a guest or as a co-host for the night. Definitely know he's working tonight and want to give him a quick shout out. And tonight we got a great topic, and I'm joined by my co-host, Daniel Dark. And how are you doing tonight, Daniel?
I'm doing fine, sir. You having a good day today?
Oh, it's been beyond busy. It's been creatively, office-wise, I mean, any way you want to look at it, it's been just nonstop. So I've been literally just going, just, you know, without out of real break since early morning, and it's good to finally be able to kick back with our listeners and you and have a good podcast tonight. And yes, I'm going to have a glass of bourbon while we do the show. So all things are finally settling a bit.
Yeah, for me and everybody, so it was work all day long. And then I got a shower this afternoon.
Oh,
I hadn't had a shower all day. So I was working at the house on new book and stuff, so worked on that all day long.
Excellent.
And you know, hopefully we'll have that to this crazy publisher that I've got up in Kentucky real soon. So
there's a few crazy publishers in Kentucky. Yeah, I'm sure you must be talking about Apex or maybe Hydra or maybe maybe the seven,
no.
Crazy seven-star people. I don't know, but yeah, there's a few crazy publishers up in the Bluegrass State.
The seven-star people have been fairly decent to me, so we're gonna hang with them for a little while. So,
well, hopefully we'll get to the level that you know, books will be known as much known out of Kentucky as bourbon is. Because in the last week, I've been getting a kick out of it. I'm not going to get into the whole controversy over trade wars and tariffs, but it was amusing to see that several countries, one of the first things on their list for implementing new tariffs on for United States exports was, you guessed it, bourbon. And I'm talking the entire EU and Mexico and several other countries were talking that they're going to slap a tariff on bourbon. So, hey, you know, I mean, we do have one of the world's most valued commodities, so let's give a little cheer there for that.
And whiskey would probably be the top thing on that. So,
yeah, France is
you know,
not France, but EU is the entire EU commission, or they said that the top three things would be like bourbon, jeans, and Harley Davidson's motorcycles. So I thought, wow, that's a pretty rugged combo, though, as a trio, though. Harley Davidson's jeans and bourbon. So, but yeah, evidently that's the three things are going to get
stopped
first.
So if you're a biker at all, you don't get to go there, huh?
Well, I guess you're just going to have to pay a lot more.
Oh,
I was thinking like that's terrible. But yeah, I did get a kick out of it that you know, bourbon was one of the top culprits for new taxes, so, or tariffs. So, yeah, we've got a hot commodity here in a bluegrass state. And speaking of hot commodities, our convention Imaginarium, we had a new Imaginator announcement. It was Carolyn Arnold, who's a best-selling mystery and thriller author who has extensive expertise when it comes to like police procedures. And she's been hailed by all kinds of law enforcement people. And I mean, whether she's doing stories with the FBI or or, you know, police departments and all that. I mean, she's known for, you know, getting her stuff just spot on in her books. And she's got a ton of fans, ton of readers out there. And we're really, really happy. I mean, just really personality wise and everything, just, I think she'll fit Imaginarium just perfectly. She'll be a great Imaginator guest. And, you know, and I think it's gonna be a lot of fun, given her special level of expertise, to have her there talking about all that. It's gonna be a lot of fun because we have actually been working on some things related to crime investigation and things like that for Imaginarium programming. So when this developed, I mean, it just pushed that whole thing into a whole new level. And I think when people see our programming, they're going to be really excited, you know, with what we are able to bring to the table this year in some of those areas, especially if they're thriller mystery type authors. I think they're going to love it. So that is some good news. I wanted to share that right off the bat. And then we also announced today the return of Imaginarium favorite Michael Noss, which, of course, Bram mm-hmm. Stoker award-winning editor, author extraordinaire, who is definitely one of the most likable people you'll ever encounter in this industry, and a person that is so approachable and such a good mentor and teacher. I mean, I can go on and on about what a great guy he is. And last year he was our guest of honor, but, you know, so this year obviously we have to, you know, we can't, you know, do the same guest of honors and Imaginators, you know, in successive years, which creates a little bit of a problem, you know, when you have people like Michael Nost and Tim Wagner, even, you know, you want to make sure back every year. So we've got our spotlighted guests, and that's for our very special high level guests. And so we have designated him as a spotlighted guest for this year. And that was announced today. So in 3 days, we've announced two major guests for Imaginarium, and that's been awesome. And then creatively, I've also been working really hard and got my edits back from my editor for my first YA novel, Dream of the Navigator. Kind of, I describe it as 1984 and Brave New World meets Narnia. And so it's a really interesting mix of the dystopian and the supernatural. It's got a real kind of futurist kind of thing blended alongside, you know, some very philosophical, speculative stuff. And so if you like realms of consciousness and those kind, and, you know, and the idea about, you know, energy realms and things like that, and you also enjoy, you know, good, hard dystopian, you know, dark edge dystopian kind of stuff, this definitely would be your cup of tea. So, I mean, I'm excited about getting that one shored up for release. And last but not least, you know, in the meantime, I am going to be releasing a slew of new Raiden Valkyrie and Ragnar Stormbringer tales in ebook format. Some are novellas. First one is Depths of Night, first Ragnar Stormbringer novella that's going to be released at the end of this month. But I'm hoping to release like at least one new tale every single month so that, you know, readers have something to look forward to while I'm shoring up the rest of the YA novel and getting that ready for release, and then also working on the new epic fantasy novel, which will take some time to percolate and prepare in the oven, so to speak. But there's going to be plenty of new stuff coming out, and I'm glad to be able to finally release that for the readers. That's always a good thing when you can bring them some good news. So I have not been idle.
Yep.
But that's
Holly just sent me a message saying that the chat room is giving issues and everything, but it is up and running. So if you're trying to get onto the chat room, just keep trying. Just don't give up on it, and we will hear from you out of there.
David Sheridan is in the chat room tonight. Welcome back, David. I haven't seen David in a while. Fantastic. Yeah, I know he's been up to quite a bit with his show, The Creative Flame, on YouTube, and doing a whole lot of posting there. And I've been dying to catch up on everything because he's been like a posting machine on that. But it's a great, talented creative who we love a lot.
He's been posting every day.
Yeah.
If you want to try something hard, try posting a new video every day.
No, that is, yeah, you know, no kidding.
And, and David's been doing it every day. So.
Yep. Go-getter, deluxe.
Give us our call-in line again, so that anybody wants to call in and talk to us, we can from Stephen.
Yes, and we do have our first caller so coming in here. So, caller, if you're listening to this, I will get you on in just a second. Just got to introduce tonight's show topic really quick. And, yeah, Daniel was talking about, you know, some things with equipment issues and stuff and was thinking it might be fun to talk about, well, those times when everything, you know, goes wrong in your creative world and how do you react and what to do and how do you respond to those times when things happen beyond your control. And I think it's a great topic because, you know, because there's lots of do's and don'ts for how to respond if you're a, you know, try to maintain yourself as a professional creative. And, you know, I think that the recent thing with the new Terry Goodkind cover where he, you know, made some posts online that really slammed the artwork for his new novel, you know, I think that's a great example of it because obviously at the major press level, you don't have a whole lot of control over your cover and how it comes out. And in this case, you know, I think the artwork was fantastic in and of itself. The problem was, is evidently, according to, you know, readers, is that the artwork evidently does not represent the actual novel well. But instead of, you know, like I said, being very clear about that, and just a couple of sentences would have made that clear. Like, okay, this is great artwork, but it does, the content of the artwork does not represent the novel accurately. Simple thing to say, but he, you know, he basically talked about how laughably bad his the artwork was, and it created a firestorm and a lot of heat when fans of his, you know, went on tirades against the artist. I hope I get this right. It's Bastien Lecoux. It's definitely a French last name, and his it's spelled Lecoucffe or Lecoux. But Bastien, his artwork is fantastic. I mean, by any measure of major press covers, I mean, the artwork is definitely on that standard. And, you know, the only thing is, it's just, you know, whatever came out is, you know, he did what he was told to do. You know, he did what the art department or art director over at the press told him to do. And what came out was something, you know, that was not, you know, that Terry Goodkind did not evidently like. But this is a prime example. Okay, this was beyond Terry's control because the press obviously on that level can issue the cover, you know, as they want to. And they do that, you know, a lot of authors that aren't too happy with their covers. But, you know, the thing is that he reacted in a way that, you know, created this big, big controversy. And a lot of people are very sympathetic to Bastien, you know, and where he's coming from. And I think more and more people are learning, you know, the process now and learning, you know, that it's, you know, not Bastien, you know, it's the way that, you know, major presses work and how art develops in a major press and for a book cover. And, you know, and I think that, you know, the Terry Goodkind response is a learning moment for a lot of up and coming authors of what not to do. I think it was definitely in poor taste. I think it was poorly worded. I think it's, you know, definitely a, you know, regrettable, you know, sort of thing. And, you know, I was really surprised, you know, but it's, that definitely is, you know, it kind of kicks off our discussion, but yeah, there are definitely ways to handle things and ways not to handle things that are beyond your control. So, you know, that's, I don't know how much of that you've been following, Daniel, but sort of got my blood up because I definitely was sympathetic to the artist Bastien. I think he got the wrong deal.
Unfortunately, this is the first that I've heard of it, though. When it comes to controversy and everything, I don't listen to a whole lot of the controversy. I listen to what, you know, what the solutions are instead of the controversies.
Right. Yeah, it basically just stemmed off a very poorly worded social media post that got everybody mad at the artist initially. A lot of his fans mad at the artist initially, and it was for something that the artist had absolutely zero control over, and the author had zero control over. You know, they got the, you know, specs from the art director. He delivered the artwork that he was, you know, told to deliver and did his job well. And then, you know, on the other side of the coin, the author, you know, has to live with whatever the major press puts out there. And, you know, and they put something out there that he's not happy with, but with the way he responded and the words he chose to use, I mean, it left just this big fog that sort of shifted the blame to the artist rather than the press. And that's the key distinction. And so, you know, like I said, it's a really good, very public learning moment, I think, for all levels of authors, whether you're a New York Times bestseller or you're, you know, like I said, just getting into the game and publishing your first novel. I mean, this is a classic example of, you know, things that are beyond your control, how to handle them and how not to handle them. And I think it's definitely, you know, something to keep in mind as we go forward in our discussion here.
Oh yeah.
So,
that being said, do you have a guest that you're bringing on tonight?
Yes, I'm bringing on guest number one, the 813 area code, and then I think we have a guest out of the 502 area code on deck here.
Hi, this is Matt Bison, guest 813.
There's
and if
Matt.
Anything you discuss, yeah, your discussion segued into this call right at the perfect moment, I think. Hi, guys, how we doing?
Oh. Well, that's what we intend to do, is just segue at the perfect moment when you call. As completely
so you knew it was me. You knew it was me waiting. You said, you know what, let's talk about cover art and how that can go wrong. And, oh, hey, Matt, how are you? I get it. It's all good.
we are just that slick and good at the start.
You would know nothing about that, Matt. Yep.
All right, yes, I do know something about that. All right, I got a couple of stories for you because I saw the topic for tonight and I definitely wanted to weigh in with a couple of stories. Even as a first-time author working on my second book, I've already got some stories, and I've already said, you know, my book could have a book behind it. So, on the cover art, that was a very good point that was being raised because, yeah, I was in a very similar situation where my readers and people gave feedback on my cover, that more or less to the point where they said that it was counterproductive to the promotion of my book. And I was very energetic in defending the artist because the artist was you know, I sought them out. I told them what I wanted. They did it. And I signed off on it. So, you know, it was more, I more or less took the criticism on myself because the cover was initially what I had intended for the book and learnt from that it was a mistake to go for a cover like that. And, and now I'm in the process of getting a new cover for the book. But the one thing that I always did was I would never blame the artist. It was, he was doing exactly what I'd asked and, delivered what I'd asked. So, to me, I had no complaints. It was more just, just some poor choices on my part, and I was very, keen to let people know that because, the cover did come under some, some heavy fire at times, but to me it was all justified and all part of the learning. And luckily, I do have that, creative license to change it. So, definitely speak to what you were talking about there. And, it sounded like a very unfortunate situation where no one wins really, but. You just got to be careful what you say about people in an industry that you want to be a part of because, if you start carrying around the tag of being hard to work with or, doesn't play well with others, people will know that, and that's something that follows you. So,
or the proverbial loose cannon, as I call it, the one that will just go off on a tangent and, end up, burning a lot of bridges with fans and industry. That's always a, and I think in this case that happened because I think a lot of people I know, at least I've talked to, have said that they wouldn't buy the author's book anymore out of that incident I was just talking about. And because they got so, just so irate about the, just the way in which it was handled publicly. And I think you hit on a key point. It's as long as you are very clear about, you know, exactly where, like I said, somebody said, okay, well, if the, you know, the publisher would listen to him, you know, saying if, you know, he didn't like the cover or not, where's he going to have recourse in getting out that message? And social media might be the only place the author can clarify his position. And I'm like, well, then they just have to be very careful, like you were saying, about how to word that and where, you know, you would, you know, put potential blame. And I think as long as you're very concise and careful about that, it's possibly okay in some instances, but you just have to really, really be careful.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. And, yeah, and, you know, again, it's sort of something that happened to me. And, you know, I sort of looked at, well, why is my cover like this? And, you know, the answer was pretty simple because it was what I wanted. So, and now I'm, it's, you know, I've listened to, and you know, the best way to react to that is to listen to the feedback you get from people that are either in the know, or especially your readers. You know, the first people to actually tell me they didn't like the cover were ironically people that had bought the book. You know, it was people that had read it just said, you know, like, this cover doesn't really, you know, justify what you've got in there. It doesn't represent it. So, you know, that's when the shift started. And I sought opinions from other people, and yeah, it just sort of grew from there. And you know, that's, you know, sort of that's very close on the horizon. There will be a new cover for the book shortly, and I'm, you know, happy with how that's going. And you know, just glad that I can learn this, you know, on this early. So, no, it's a good one. I do have another couple of stories, if that's all right.
Sure.
My first story. This is under the theme of, you know, how things can go wrong and how you've got to adjust. I think this is probably a really good, you know, don't ever take for granted that things go well, because sometimes the rug can just come straight out from under you. I'd written my book. It was at a process where it was very close to publication. And I'd been working with someone about that, helping me sort of navigate through the publication jungle and the things that you need to do to, you know, be in a good place for when you self-publish. And this is someone that lives, you know, far away from me, so everything was remote and over, you know, Facebook or phone. And I basically said, yeah, well, I had a trip to work, my work headquarters, and it was about 3 hours away. And I said, well, you know, what about if I fly in to where you are, or near where you are, and we could actually meet and go through, you know, for a couple of days, you know, a plan for go live. And they said, yep, absolutely. So everything was arranged. Luckily for my trip, you know, the flights were taken care of with work. My hotel I used points for, so, yeah, that was all good. But I'm sitting on a plane at Charlotte Airport. But literally on this plane, 5 minutes from takeoff, my phone gives me an alert that I've got a Facebook message, and I look at it, and it says, Matt, I am being taken to jail, and I don't know why. I'm afraid I can't make it, sadly. And so I flew into Louisville, and I thought it might have been a joke. Didn't see them, and more or less found out that the person that was helping navigate through the publication had been incarcerated. You there?
Wow.
So, yeah, I had to, well, I mean, I had a hotel and a lot of time on my hands for the 2 days, so I took a lot of it upon myself, and actually had to inform the company that this person was affiliated with, that their, you know, that their person was behind bars, because I found out before they did. I had to more or less try and plot a way forward without it. It was very unfortunate, but
oh man,
yes. Well. But then the thought crossed my mind, okay, well, this could have happened a few hours later with some people coming up and tapping us both on the shoulder while we're sitting at a table, you know, in a Courtyard Marriott lobby talking about the book. So, you know, yeah, to an extent, I feel like I dodged a bullet, that's for sure. Because it could have gone, that could have happened later, and in so many ways it probably wouldn't have worked out for me. But yeah, it was an unfortunate thing. But yeah, not your typical occurrence on the path to publication, that's for sure.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. We stay in contact. They're no longer interested. But they understood that I couldn't continue with the relationship, and I just said I can't have this attached to my book, because even, you know, regardless of whether I think that they're innocent or not, it doesn't matter, because if someone else sees this person's name, it's a Google search away. It's like, oh wow, okay. And yeah, I just can't have that attached to all of that.
No.
So yeah.
No.
So
totally understand.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to get any calls with that kind of one. you'll get the story of the bad covers, I'm sure, but not the, PA incarcerated. Like I said, and I was literally sitting on my flight in Charlotte. I changed to Charlotte. I was sitting on the plane ready to take off to go and meet them for the first time. And that message came across. So.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Mm.
So 3 hours later, and you had been in jail too, maybe.
Exactly. No, you're right. It could very easily have gone that way. But in a way, I sort of had hoped it might have been a day or two later. That way I could have said, you know, because part of it was like, you know, they had a checklist ready, like all these links and contacts and everything else. And I didn't have the, you know, I didn't have the audacity to sort of say, hey, when you get out, can you send those scripts to Fiverr?
Well, there's always the option, though, that when you're renegade and in jail, you know, your sales might go through the roof, you know.
That's true. Some people are into that, you know. Maybe some of my demographic is.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
so, I know in the rock world, if your album sales go up if you die, I mean, so, but hey, this is a less extreme example.
Yeah, exactly. It was a huge shock, but like I said, there's a part of me that feels like, you know, dodged a bullet with it too, because, you know, if it had been even a few months down the track, you know, anything could have happened. So,
right.
You know, there's nothing really lucky about it, but I think the timing was at least better than what it was, in that case. So, but I did want to call in to tell that story, and also to elaborate on the definitely with the piece about the covers, because artists more or less just they do what you tell them, and whether that's the author directly or a publishing house, they're just sort of coming back to that. Yep, they do what they're told, and
right.
And if you don't like it, you usually have the license to sell them, but I guess that is a downside of going through a publishing house. So, like, the author didn't have that luxury. But, yeah, I think we talked about last time I did call, and that was you put something out on social media, it's there, and it doesn't go away. Yeah, even if you delete it, a lot of people either remember it or keep it. So it's just something where people have got to be very careful. Oh, I did have one other story. Do we have time for another? This is very quick.
Okay, I just want to see if this might be Michael West on 812.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Oh.
No, it's me.
Oh, it's Holly coming aboard. Now you get a special treat.
Oh, hey, Holly.
It's Holly.
It's just me. Go ahead, Matt, tell your story.
Yeah, because after your next story, we have a really cool caller on coming up next after Matt, who's actually an award-winning author and filmmaker. So just want to give you a small heads up before Matt's last story. But go ahead.
Man, I'll tell my story and make way for the feature. Absolutely. All right.
You're good.
So my first public appearance as an author was at a book fair in Clearwater in Florida. And I actually sort of took the unorthodox approach of going to this book fair without a book. I was going to promote the fact that I had a book coming out soon. So I had iPads scrolling through with some various graphical presentations. I had sample chapters to hand out, bookmarks, that sort of thing. So, it's to get people interested. So, I find out the night before that the book fair is outside. And I thought, oh, no problem. I just hope I don't get sunburned. Then I found out it's healthy, so I thought, okay, cool. That's great. I go and set up, and I think this book fair was on the windiest day Clearwater's had in probably the last 5 or 10 years, because nothing would sit on this table. I lay out my sample chapters, they get blown off. I try to put a poster, like I've got a poster and an easel, it would get blown over. So for about the first 45 minutes to an hour, I'm literally trying to tie things down, clamp things down, rearrange my table so that some things are standing on top of things. I made my sample chapters into sort of like just a line so that they all stood on top of each other and in a way kept each other on the table. Didn't stop stuff from blowing around though, but the one thing I hadn't counted on was the elements. And I spent most of my first appearance as an author just picking stuff up off the ground and putting it back on my table. Sometimes it was handy though, because people were walking past the table and not something, and then the wind would do me a favor and blow sample chapters at their feet. So, that helped because they sort of blow quite up at that point. I had not planned on any of that. And even, like I said, I had a poster with an easel. I had to clamp that down and then tie it to a pole and everything else. It was it wasn't the greatest day. I mean, it was good to get a taste of it when you make your first public appearance and all, it just wasn't the picture book version that I'd hoped that it'd be. So, but no, it was still a lot of fun, and I'll always remember that. But in the future, I'm definitely going to attend the book fairs and signings inside. So, and that's some advice for you, Daniel, when you're on Saturday. I'm sure you're going to be inside of Barnes & Noble and not out in the car park. So, firstly, wish you well with the event, sir.
Make sure they give you a table inside. And it's going to be pouring down rain outside, so.
There you go. Well, that's no favors either, but yes. Yeah, definitely do
inside.
Yeah, there's a big difference. I've done the inside. It is a lot better and warmer.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I gotta go. I know you had your another call and more to get to, but I appreciate you letting me call in and share a few more.
Well, thank you, Matt. We always enjoy it.
We love your
call.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. You have a good night, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Go ahead and bring your other guest.
Further ado, we have the one, the only, longtime friend of mine who is an award-winning author and filmmaker based out of the Louisville area. And I can't remember the last time that she's been on the show, so it's kind of cool. It's been a long time. But Amy McCorkle, thank you for holding. It's great to have you on tonight. You're live.
Hello,
Amy.
No, hi. The last time I was on your show was right after you had kicked it off, back right before the first Imaginarium. Wow.
Oh, my God. So that's like 100 episodes ago. Well, don't wait another 100 before the next time. Call sooner.
I'm just been so busy.
How are you?
Actually, I want to talk about some good stuff. I have never had a problem with my artist. I basically say, what do you need from me? And then I just get out of the way. Because I've been on the small press or in the independent press, and I know nothing about how to make a book cover. And it's far be it for me to tell someone who has the skill to do it. Now, if I were in New York, I know better than to blame my artist. She's just doing what she's told. And
correct.
I have another artist who I've been working with, and it's the same thing. He tells me what he needs from me, and and I just give that to him, and he delivers. So I've had a very fortunate run of people who I've worked with as an author, as an artist, having a good mm-hmm. cover artist who really knows what I'm trying to convey with my story. She's like the first thing you see about my book. She's the one who makes you pick it up or makes you stop looking mm-hmm. at the ebook. Right.
So that's great. And you could, surround yourself with people that, you know, you get a kind of connection with, and they know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like I've been writing a lot of scripts and submitting to a lot of festivals, and I've been to enough events and I've been to enough festivals to know where it feels like a family and where it doesn't. And I know, mm-hmm. like, I love Imaginarium, but because we did form, me and Missy and Pam formed a publishing house, it's like we wanted to do double duty. We wanted to have a splash at Imaginarium, but we're wanting to do the West Coast, too. So we divided it. So Missy's hitting, Missy and Pam are going to be at Imaginarium, and then I'm going to be on the West Coast at IndieScribe. But it's not because I don't love my Imaginarium peeps, because I always love being there and seeing my friends and seeing you, Stephen, and seeing you, Holly, and all the typical, you know, Imaginarium comers, and then the new people who come. Right. It's always a great time at Imaginarium. I've been very blessed.
Yeah, the amazing Dr. Cooper is going to be with you on the West Coast, right, if I'm correct?
Yes. I'm going to be with him. Andrew's my psychological sibling. So
he is an amazing talent too. He is just an amazing writer. So I mean, that'll be fun. You'll be a dynamic duo out in the West Coast for sure. And I know, I don't know though. You're leaving us with Missy and Pam. That could, you know, I won't have anybody to keep them
trouble.
Under control.
That could be trouble.
You're gone, so it could be a lot of trouble.
Missy's fine. Missy and Pam will be.
Yeah, you're leaving us the rowdiest ones in your bunch. Yeah, you. I know you and Dr. Cooper are well behaved, but those two, I'm not sure.
Just welcome them with open arms. Just welcome them with open arms. I know I often talk a lot, but welcome them and treat them first class. And
well, of course we will. You know that.
Yeah, I know. And
I always tease Missy, of course, but I always give her a fun time.
I've done a lot more film, and so I've been going to these film festivals, and so what is really cool is things have been developing, like Letters to Daniel started, right? And it's not like I've become more focused with it, and I have gone through some things where the rug gets pulled out from underneath me, and I'm not going to say who they were, because it's just, you know, because it's not, like you say, it's not good to crack where you eat, because you never know if you're going to be with them again or not.
Sure.
So,
right.
But I've been in toxic managerial relationships. I've been in ones where the people just flat out lied to me. So it was like I went from one to one to one, and finally I said, that's enough. And so Letters to Daniel has had things go wrong with it since 2015. So it's finally starting to gather moss. And the one good thing I want to say, like you say, onward and upward, because if you keep pushing, I know that's a damn good script. And eventually, and what happened to me, I took up a donation plate, and I took a bus ride to Nashville last Friday. And I went to see a faith-based broadcaster whose channel goes into 22 million homes. And he said, this is what I'm going to do for you. I've had everything go wrong, but this one moment I sat down, he comes up to me, I'm there, I travel 6 hours on a bus to get up there and back. I'm there for 45 minutes, and he gives me a distribution deal. It goes into 22 million homes, and I get a revenue share, I get DVDs, I get placed on the other faith-based networks. And I did this basically by networking on my own. Facebook right now is my is probably why I found you. It's why I found, so, you know, you're the first person who brought, who screened Letters to Daniel, the documentary. It wasn't the first award, but it was the place where I had my premiere of the film. But it's kind of like where it all started, right? It with the film part of it. And it just kind of has picked up. And it's not just going to be with the 22 million homes. He's placing it on his connections with other faith-based networks. And then I talked to NAMI, which is the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, and they're going to partner with me when the film is done. They're going to make it available to their network of consumers, and they're going to publicize the film. So
very
I've got
cool.
this in my
Congratulations.
Life.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm going to ICFF. I had to hustle it, but I'm going to ICFF. And so whatever spare change I had to go to ICFF. I found out this morning that the proof of concept trailer for The Guardian got in. It's screened. The script, which is a television series pilot script, got in to accept it, was officially accepted. Then at another festival this evening, I found out that a short script of mine, Rise, Mine and Misty's Rise, was nominated for Best Short Drama, and The Guardian was nominated, which is Mine and Misty's script, was nominated for Best Feature Drama. So, script. So, it's been a crazy 2 weeks, and it's like this whole year has been insane, because it's like good things started happening the first week of January. So, you know me, and you know the story of Letters to Daniel. And I've gone to other festivals where I've been able to network with people who might have better skills than me as a cinematographer. And there's no might. They just do. And they've offered to give me a free seminar on cinematography. And they're also going to be the cinematographer on the feature film Letters to Daniel. So it's
cool.
Just like... But everything, you know, it all has a starting point. I had, and it was a small press. It can all come from a small press. The publisher at Muse, who was a sponsor with you got with Imaginary
yep,
1 year
absolutely.
Or 2 years.
Correct.
I talked them into the head. I really sold y'all because I really believe in the vision you have for what Imaginarium can become. And I think it's so important that something like that be in the Kentucky area. It's you can get there from anywhere in the state where you have it. And it's really, it's accessible. And so Letters to Daniel, the film, and Letters to Daniel, it was a blog first, then it was a memoir, and then I turned it, me and Missy turned it into a documentary, and then we turned it into a script. And
right.
It's just been, it's got to start somewhere. And you're the one who said, I didn't even have a documentary whenever I said, if I do this, you just offered me the premiere slot. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, you're going to put something I make on a screen? And it just kind of, I found other festivals that are just as warm, as inviting as Imaginarium, and they're at different times, so there's no real conflict, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got two in August I hit every year, but it starts somewhere. And, Stephen, you believe in a lot of people, and you really get behind them. And I've gravitated towards those kinds of festivals. So whenever I'm thanking those people for the film area, the whole genesis of the book and the writing, you're the one who gave me my seat at the table early on. You're the one who welcomed me into the Louisville community. You do a lot for people like that. And that was like the first step. So I've had setbacks, but, you know, it's like you say, onward and upward, because if you just keep pushing, if you just put one foot in front of the other, I've also been fortunate, me and Missy pitched a mental health advocacy reality TV series out in Hollywood, and it's in development now. So We've had a lot go on this year. So we're, I know in development doesn't mean they picked up the series, but when a VP network person says, I'm going to help, literally, the pitch went, I gave them the pitch, and she said, I'm going to help you develop this. And you know, conversations don't just go like that in Hollywood. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really amazed at what she did with Raiden, too. I'm ready to see the finished product, to be honest with you, whenever you get it ready.
Yeah, we are, too.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Daniel was, too.
But, yeah. You'll be pleased.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Whenever, it's always like, well, it's like Dell at AOS said, and his wife Teresa, who run AOS, they said, you really should think about submitting your film there, because they screen it on an IMAX movie theater, and your film is a sword and sorcery kind of thing, and it would just be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It would just be amazing on
yeah,
that
we'll,
screen.
We'll
I know
be,
you're
we'll
be
getting it out there for sure. But I think the main thing that, that I'm hearing in when you're speaking is that, when things happen that are beyond your control that cause you setbacks or disappointments, the main thing is that in your case is just the tenacity, the resilience, the kind of like the persistence, not to quit, to keep
at it. No, don't quit.
Well,
someone once said, whenever I was having a bad time of it, Misty Parker said to me, don't they know you get back up? Don't they know you get back up? It's not how many times you get knocked down. It really is a cliche, but it's true. It's not how many times you get knocked down. Yeah. It's like,
and a lot of times it works out better for you, in the long run. That's like going back to like the Bastion LeCouf thing. I was talking to him earlier, and that's why I called in, because, well, I was talking to him, and he is so swamped now. So actually all the negativity that author, threw at him publicly and all this is actually, backfiring on the author, because Bastion is now swamped with people wanting to look at his work and wanting him to do stuff. And, he's just overwhelmed right now. And so it's actually working out to his advantage, which I think is fantastic, It happens.
I agree. That is awesome. That's awesome.
Well, there you go. Up to the minute scoop on the Star Chamber show on the famous controversy.
firsthand. Yes. You know me, I talk to everybody, so
yes, you do. Holly has that persistence you're talking about. She doesn't worry about anything. It just goes after it, and that's kind of like what I see in what you do, Amy. You just,
it's what you gotta
go
do.
After it. Just keep
that's just
keep
like with Brock O'Hearn. I got out of bed at midnight and I was like, I know who Ragnar is. I know. And I showed Steven, and he's like, oh my God. It's so midnight. I'm emailing, Brock's manager. And it happens. I'm like, well, what can they do but say no? You got to take a chance.
Yeah.
What's the worst I'm going to say? No, I'm going ICFF basically to find out if they actually have pitch sessions with executives and producers, and I'm going to pitch and try to get a backer for letters to dangle there. But I'll actually have something in the hip pocket. Cool. It's like you said, you wanted Brock O'Hearn, so you got up and you did what you had to do to get Brock O'Hearn.
That's right.
A matter of if you were going to get him. It was a win. It's like
– right.
I think that's amazing. And he looks, oh my God, he looks totally the kind of part for
acting. He did phenomenal. He just did phenomenal job. He really did.
Yeah.
He really harnessed Ragnar and just, took off with it. Yeah.
Well,
he loved it.
Like
he had a lot of fun killing people.
It looked like you had a great cast and crew to work with and how everybody came together.
Good.
I think that's amazing. And, it's like when something falls through, you just keep pushing.
Exactly.
Just keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to go, everything's not going to go rosy. You know, you're going to have
the bumps
and the setbacks. But, you know, nothing goes as planned. You need a plan B, C, D, F, because, you know, nothing's going to go like you plan it. And you
every indie filmmaker listening right now can relate to that statement.
Yeah.
Because indie film goes as planned. None of them do. I mean, one somewhere,
I had an individual on my set who was an actor tell me that they weren't feeling it and they weren't going to do it. And I was like, okay. And I basically, it was like, what do I do here? Do I kill her now? Or do I just not work with her again? Because I had never been confronted with that. Everybody had always, you know, it had never been an issue on a short film set. It was like, it was just really, really odd. And I said, okay, we are not going to shoot this. So basically, because I didn't want, so I shot the scene and it went horrible. Got up the next morning, shot the scene. It went horrible. When I went in the editing bay, I had to cut that scene, all the angles, couldn't save it. Could not save it. And it was like, well, that's how the cookie crumbles. The film actually ended up being better for it. So,
yep.
But, you know, I know not to work with them again. And she said, she goes, Amy, your tagline should be making chicken salad out of chicken shit. That should be every independent filmmaker's. That should be in every independent filmmaker's tagline, because you don't usually have a lot of money, if any.
Right.
And
right.
You don't have any money, and you're trying to make something special. And mm-hmm. you can manage to get, you can get the film
you
done.
You get real creative.
You get real creative. If you can get the film done, you deserve a big kudos. So my kudos to you, Stephen, because you had a major vision, and it wasn't a drama. It's a drama, but it had a lot of action and a lot of fight sequences. And so my kudos to you, because you got it done. And if you found yourself in the situation that I was in, which I think you may have, you found a way to get it done. And I just admire that. And so
We had a great call in last week from filmmaker Thomas Moore, who's another one that has that attitude.
Yeah, Thomas was on.
He gets it done, and he's building a great body of work, and you know, he's looking at it to definitely support his mission to get a good budgeted project. But he's the same way.
Yeah,
just finds ways to get it done well. So.
He has an amazing team around him. I really like Thomas. I got to get to know him at AOF last year out in Vegas, and we were around each other a lot, and it was just a lot. And what was really special is that Rebecca was out there with us, you know, my cousin, the Gears of Galaga girl from Hydra. She was out there with me. Thomas was there. And then, of course, there's a composer I met at another film festival, and he was out there. And every one of them landed on the gifted list, which is a special, like, they named 10 people, and they were various filmmakers, writers, composers, whatever. And all of the people I recommended come, either won an award or ended up on that list. So I was, like, really excited. It was a really fun time because it wasn't just me winning out there. It was all my friends and all the people I worked with and people I'd met on the circuit. I met Thomas at Imaginarium in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's been there a few times now.
We had lunch together there, and I got to see Ruination for, like, the second or third time. It's a wonderful film.
Great film.
Yep. Yeah,
great film.
But I think like you said, Stephen, because I can go the long way around to try to tell you something short. Just keep getting up. Just keep getting up, and just one step in front of the other, because some roads are like, and it always pays off. It's always sweeter. If you have to work for, you know, if it's worth having, it's not going to be easy. And if it was easy, everybody
sure.
would do it.
That's exactly true.
And so I'm excited every time there's a teaser trailer for Raiden, Valkyrie. I always go, and I'm like, I can't wait to see the whole thing because, you know, you got your team around you who you like to work with, and it's clear that you've got talent around you. And, I would say they have a film market. And,
We got 4 minutes left. We got a 317 area code, and I believe that's L.A. So I'm going to bring this guest aboard. You are on the Star Chamber Show.
You better get it quick.
it's not L.A.
Oh, no, it's not L.A. Oh, 317. It's Michael. Oh, my God.
That's Michael West.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he lives. He lives, Amy and Daniel.
He lives. All right.
Hey, Michael, made it before the end of the show.
I know.
You made it.
I have many issues, but I was able to get through.
You made it.
Well, if you want to say something, you better say it quick.
Yeah, the legendary Amy McCorkle has called in for the first time in over 100 episodes. So,
yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
So, Michael... Do you have anything to add?
Yes, Michael. Yes, do you have anything to add?
Yes, Windows updates are no joke.
No, that's true. I've been there, done
no.
that.
Not
see, long
that's
ago,
what
too.
We're talking about. And like Amy says, you got to stay persistent. Stay persistent.
That's uh-huh. right. That's right.
Right. And see,
and,
he
and,
actually
and,
got in, so...
I actually got in before the show was ending, which was something that I was determined to do. So there you go.
Well, this was the perfect show to do that. You showed what happens when you are persistent.
That's right.
This is a case example of our theme. Everything was going wrong, but you stayed persistent, and now you are on the show.
I have embodied the theme of the show.
Yes, you have. Slow and steady wins the race.
That's right.
Well played, Mr. West. Oh, my God. This is one of your finest moments on the
along.
Show. In the highlights of the first 106 episodes, this is one of your finest moments, Mr. West.
One of my finest moments is not being on the show. I don't know how to take that.
Well, you're on it now.
Well, it's like the end of the Metal Cat show where he comes out of the pod and the song ends and he tries to get back in the pod and it closes on him. Oh, have you ever seen the movie's Final Tap?
Hello, my honey. Mm-hmm. Hello, baby. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Oh, man. Well,
does anybody have anything coming up real quick? Because we got like 2 minutes. Amy, where are you going here soon?
In April, Three Bitches Press will be at the Author's Fest, and in May I will be in Orlando, Florida, for the International Christian Film Festival.
Cool. Michael,
Daniel.
I'll be at Horror Hound Weekend here in 2 weeks, and then at the Author's Fair in April.
I will
Very
be
good.
At the Author's
Daniel?
Fair in April, and hopefully, I got something else coming up. I can't even remember because I've had such a flurry of
Imaginarium
announcements this week.
That's in October.
Yeah, I'm talking about like the imminent ones.
Well, I'm looking on a calendar, but I don't know. He plans things that I don't know about sometimes, you know. I know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got the Author's Fair.
And Daniel, you got...
Saturday this week, I will be at Barnes & Noble Vanderbilt Nashville doing a book signing, question and answer, and possible readings from Knife's Tale. And then
very cool.
End of April... I will be up at the International Steampunk Symposium up in Ohio.
Cool.
So You can see me at either one of those places. Hopefully, I will see some of y'all this Saturday. So,
you got it. And
awesome.
And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Star Chamber Show. Also at cafepress.com at Star Chamber Show if you want to get some cool Star Chamber Show swag that supports the show. And we'll be coming at you very, very soon, next week, next Wednesday, in fact, with another Star Chamber Show. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.